Okay, well, welcome again. For the last few weeks of October, we've been talking about the comfort of God. God is the comforter, as the mother, as the Holy Spirit, which Reverend Crystal particularly addressed last week. The affirmation given us by Unity for the month is the Christ presence is my guide, my strength, and my comfort. Well, another name for the Christ presence is the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today a little bit from a different, slightly different perspective. It's actually very, very similar to what Reverend Crystal talked about from a unity perspective. But this is from the perspective of that spiritual path, that book called A Course in Miracles, that I think most of us here are familiar with. And you all know about the Course. It was received by Helen Schuckman back in the 60s into the early 70s. She heard a voice. She heard an inner voice. She began to feel guidance that she hadn't felt before in her life, and she felt the voice saying something very particular. She heard these words. She heard the words, "This is A Course in Miracles. Please take notes." And she kind of thought, I don't really want to go there. And she kept hearing it, and she talked to her friend Bill, and she told him about it. He said, "Well, let's just see what happens. Let's just start taking notes." She took notes. She wrote them down. He helped edit them, assembled them, and they worked on this together for several years. In many ways, the Course represents, you could say it's the story of Jesus, but reinterpreted for our age. I think of it as an incredible gift from the Spirit, from the Christ mind for this age that we're in. I think it gives us a perspective on who we are and who God is that maybe as humanity we couldn't quite grasp before that. It reinterprets biblical terminology in different ways. Let's take the Trinity, for example, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit a bit today. Well, the Trinity is not in the Bible, right? Early Christianity, they kind of started kind of talking about the ideas of Jesus and his sayings. And, well, he talked about the Father, and we call him the Son of God, and he talked about sending us the Holy Spirit. Who are all those guys, you know? So they came up with this whole theology called the Trinity, which worked really well for a while. But, you know, I think if you talk to many Christians, they're a little nebulous about what that really is about, that whole three persons in one God thing, you know, even despite St. Patrick holding up his shamrock. Well, the Course does something very different with this idea. I'm going to go so far to say that in the beginning there was no Trinity. Stunned silence. It was just God and God's creation in this dance of creation. It was the oneness. God is one, right? We are created in that oneness. We were intended to experience that supreme state in some kind of eternal spiritual ecstasy. And here's the thing we don't really talk about a lot in Unity, but something happened. And the Bible calls it the fall. The Course calls it the separation. But we know that something's really not right. Something's a little askew here. We're certainly not experiencing that eternal state of ecstasy all the time, right? I think you can agree with me there. And the Bible, of course, says that early mankind, Adam and Eve, calling it that, made a huge, huge, huge mistake, and they were thrown out of paradise. And then somebody had to come, God had to come as the Son of God and set things right and actually go through incredible suffering to set it right, and that's the whole story. Well, the Course puts it actually in very simple terms. It says, We collectively somehow made a choice to experience separation from God just kind of to see what it was like. We came up with this absurd idea that we could somehow be separate from that. And the Course says we forgot to laugh. I mean, that's a much lighter way of looking at it. Our bulletin today, the cover says, "I am the vine and you are the branches," quoting Jesus. And it's kind of almost like we said, "Hey, God, we don't really want to be the branches anymore really so much. We just kind of want to be our own tree and see how that goes. We want to perceive things differently." Actually, perception was not something that existed before that because we just knew we were one with the divine. There is no kingdom of God that we could be separate from. That's all there is. There's no opposite to God. In fact, the Course says there is no life outside of heaven. Where God created life, that's where life must be. In any state apart from heaven, life is illusion. At best, it seems like life. At worst, like death. Yet both these perceptions are judgments on what is not life, equal in their inaccuracy and lack of meaning. Life not in heaven is impossible. And what is not in heaven is not anywhere. As I was reading that again, I thought, he's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. We're kind of the nowhere man. And what we did was, by attempting to do this, we created for ourselves an apparatus of perception. This thing. An apparatus of perception. And you notice how one of the first things that happened in Genesis is we had to start naming things, kind of figuring out what stuff was. We created from the oneness this duality that we're experiencing. Light and dark, good and evil, joy and suffering, illusion and truth, reality and dreams. One thing the Course says, talking about the Genesis story, is that in the Bible it says a deep sleep fell upon Adam, but nowhere does it say that he woke up. The oneness of mind that is our birthright was lost to us somehow in our experience, but God had an immediate answer to that attempt that we made. That part of us, that divine part of us, was not lost, but he saved it for us as essentially the third part of the Trinity, as the Holy Spirit. There's a really amazing line in the Course. It's actually, the Course was written down and then some people got together and they edited it into something that they could publish. And some things were kind of left out here and there. And there's a line that I think unfortunately got left out. It's this line: the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your own right mind. The Course says that in other ways, but that specific sentence isn't in the official version, but it was said. The Holy Spirit is nothing more than your own right mind. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you that we're not really in our right minds here. And God held that in trust for us as the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came and showed us how to reconnect with that Spirit. What's the second person of the Trinity? Who is the Son of God? Yeah. Pam is going back there going, yes. It's not just Jesus. Jesus understood himself to be the Son of God. That's the key. And he said, as I do, so you must do. We are the Son of God. In fact, the Course says all of creation is the Son of God. It's really, that's how one it is. That's how united it is. So we're on our way back to try to experience that oneness. The Course says, creation is the sum of all God's thoughts in number infinite and everywhere without all limit. Creation is the Holy Son of God. We are creation. We, the sons of God. And, you know, the Course uses this specifically male language throughout, and I think it's because it's not trying to project any kind of duality. It's not trying to do this dark light thing. It's saying we're this one thing. So you could change it all and say we are the daughter of God. That'd be fine. The Course says we seem to be discrete, separate, unaware of our eternal unity with him. Yet back of all of our doubts and past all our fears, there still is certainty. For love remains with all its thoughts, its sureness being theirs. God's memory is in our holy minds, which know their oneness and their unity with the Creator. Then the Course says, let our function be only to let this memory return. That's the only reason we're here, in the Holy Spirit's view of things. Forget all the other reasons you think we're here. We're just here to remember. To love, serve, and remember. Remember that song? We're only here to be restored to sanity and to be, as we just sang, as God created us. I think we can say that we've all had in our lives at some point some glimpse of that oneness, some glimpse of heaven, of that, a recognition of that deeper part of ourselves. I don't know, would you agree to that? I think particularly in childhood, for me, I remember times when I just got it. I might have been 8, 9 years old, laying in bed thinking about stuff, and I was just hit by this. And I knew deep in my heart that everything was okay. And I thought, I got to remember this. I've got to remember this, you know, because I saw everybody else had kind of forgotten. My parents, the teachers, the older people, right? There are people who came into our world who really, really reconnected with that. Jesus is one of them. The Buddha, all the great saints, the mystics. I want to read you a short story of one of these people, Swami Vivekananda, who lived in the late 19th century. This is from his biography. He, in his youth, he became a disciple of the guru Ramakrishna. Not sure how that came about. Maybe it's just something you did in his village. I don't know. But he became a disciple, and he had other young monks. They were becoming monks, learning from Ramakrishna. And one day he was talking with some of his fellow students, and he said, what can be more absurd? He was talking about Ramakrishna's ideas of non-dualism. What can be more absurd than to say this music stand is God, this jug over here is God, that we are God? And they roared with laughter. And guess who showed up at that time? He came in and learned the cause of their laughter, and he gently touched, his name was Narendra, is the name he was born with. He touched him on the forehead and plunged him into what's called samadhi, a deep remembrance. The touch produced a magic effect, and Narendra entered a new realm of consciousness. He saw the whole universe permeated by the divine spirit, and he returned home in a daze. While eating his meal, he felt the presence of Brahman, of God, in everything, in the food, in himself, in the table. Walking in the street, he saw the carriages and the horses and the crowd, and himself made of that same substance. After a few days, that the intensity of the vision wore off to some extent, but he could still see the world only as a dream. While strolling in a public park in Calcutta, he struck his head against an iron railing. He did it again, just to see if he could get back to that sense of being separate from it, to see if they were real or a mere illusion of the mind. Eventually, he came to that full deep realization. So it's been done. It's real. How do we return to our own right minds? How do we allow the Holy Spirit to be the comforter and to lead us back into right-mindedness? Jesus tells us in the Course that salvation is very simple. We've chosen wrongly, and we just make another choice again and again and again. The Course says, in every difficulty, all distress, and each perplexity, Christ calls to you gently and says, my brother, my sister, choose again. He would not leave one source of pain unhealed, nor any image left to veil the truth. He would remove all misery from you, whom God created as an altar unto joy. He would not leave you comfortless, alone in dreams of hell, but he would release your mind from everything that abides, that hides his face from you. His holiness is yours because he is the only power that is real in you. The choice is always ours to choose between just two things, fear or love. One we made, one was given to us. Each is a way of seeing different worlds arise from different sights. This world of illusion that Vivekananda was no longer seeing for a while is the world that arose from those fear thoughts. See the love of God in you, and you will see it everywhere, because it is everywhere. I had another sheet. Oh, here it is. Good. You know, it's funny how spirit works. Yesterday, my wife Martha said, she was doing her little daily meditation in the morning, and was doing a reading, and she said, there was a really great line that said, help me, saying to God, help me to hold my interpretations of reality loosely, gently, and humbly in the recognition that you can transform my apparatus of perception to experience all things differently in the light of your love. We need to have our apparatuses of perception transformed. And that's what the whole spiritual journey is about. I'll leave you with these words from St. Paul to the Philippians. He said, let that mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's your right mind. We have an affirmation to say together. Actually, I added a little bit to it. I'd forgotten. Let's say them both together. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. And then once we've realized that, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. Take a moment to hold those ideas. We'll say them again together. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. And so it is.